Hi, this is Owen Cook. Our hosts, me, Dax Sabo, and Daniel Burson, and we're here with our guests, Mr. Sanford. There's going to be an emergency vote for name, image, and likeness on like whether we should have NIL deals in high schools in Ohio. Is that correct?
It is,
Okay.
yes.
Do you know which way Mr. Coughlin might be voting on that emergency vote?
You want me to take this one?
Yes.
I would say that Mount Vernon, Mr. Coughlin and I have discussed this along with our superintendent. And over the course of the last couple of years, this has been coming down the pipe for Ohio. We're one of, six left in the country that doesn't have an NIL bylaw for OHSAA. So we knew it was coming. They've been crafting, the OHSAA has been kind of crafting the parameters of this. I could tell you, I would say that we are hesitant to support it, but yet we also know the situation that we're in. And that is, we're one of the few remaining that does not have it. We would much rather see NIL if we're going to have to entertain NIL be done through OHSAA. So there are some guardrails and some parameters to patrol it, to secure it, to make sure that it's not just a complete free for all. And if the OHSAA member schools were to vote it down, then that's exactly what could potentially happen. Is it would be a free for all. The courts then would decide and say, yes, you're allowed to have NIL in the state of Ohio, and there's no guardrails, parameters, rules behind it, and it would just create a bad situation. So in our case, Mount Vernon and Mr. Coughlin will vote in favor of NIL for OHSA.
Since you guys are like hesitant and cautious like about it, how like do you plan on like educating like our student athletes on it, and like what do you think you'll like caution them against?
Let me take that one,
I'll
Coach
take
Hunt.
your
Let me take a step back and say why I'm hesitant. I'm hesitant because high school athletics was truly the final true amateur athletic venue that you could compete in. It used to be college, and then when NIL and people started getting paid, then it became high schools, and it's the last true amateur venue for competition. So that's my the hesitation. Now, having said that, there are circumstances, probably the most famous, obviously this one came with a court case from the wide receiver at Huber Heights, who's the number one wide receiver recruit in the country. There was a local girl here in Central Ohio that was a golfer that had an opportunity to accept an endorsement deal for branding, for apparel and clubs because she was a tremendous golfer over at New Albany. So she was unable to capitalize that. And then you go back a little ways, early on in my career, LeBron James, when he was at St. Vincent St. Mary, he was not able to capitalize on a branding deal or an endorsement deal while he was still in high school. So the hesitancy I have is based on, man, it's just still true amateur sports. But from, again, from a perspective of those few athletes that will have that opportunity to capitalize on something like that. Let's just take you guys. So, whether it's an endorsement deal, so swimming, is there going to be an apparel company that wants to come to you and give you apparel because you're a phenomenal swimmer? You, in this case, if it was permitted, and it passes, you would have that opportunity. Educating our student athletes and our community is going to be one of the big things with this bylaw is if you've heard of collectives at the collegiate level, so booster groups that are raising money and pulling money to pay athletes to come to Ohio State or whatever it may be. In this bylaw, collectives are not permitted. Okay, so there's not going to be booster groups out there that are saying, okay, Burson, you're a phenomenal swimmer. Come swim for us and we'll pay you $1,000 a month. That's not going to be permitted. But if a swim cap company comes and says, hey, phenomenal swimmer, I want to give you a merchandise deal, a branding deal to wear our cap, then you would be permitted to do that. So educating our student athletes in our community, the number one thing we're going to educate them on is because the collectives are out there in the country with the collegiate side of things, is that's not going to be permitted. You're not going to be able to pay someone to come to Mount Vernon and play sports just because you're a great athlete and we want you here. So the education side is, here are the rules. So from a student athlete side, if we have someone that is being reached out because of their social media following and they want to endorse them because they have 1 million followers and 1 million views or whatever it may be, is educating them on how to go about doing that. You can't wear Mount Vernon stuff. You cannot be on your social media if you're endorsed and being paid for whatever it may be with your swim caps with Mount Vernon swimming on. You can't do it on school time. You can't do it at a swim event. So any official school function on the bus trip to a meet, you can't do it. So it's educating our student athletes in our community on what is permitted and what will not be permitted.
Okay. So like let's say I'm going to a swim meet and this swim cap company endorsed me and wanted me to wear their caps. I could not wear the swim cap that they endorsed me to wear at the swim meet, correct?
That's correct. If
Okay.
it's not part of our uniform. So
Okay.
if you are being endorsed, and give me a swim cap company. Speedo. There you
Yeah,
go.
speed.
Speedo. If all of our student athletes are in Speedo and that's a part of our uniform, then you could wear it, but you're potentially compensated for it. But
Okay.
if you're doing an ad for them for
Okay.
Speedo, with your swim cap, you can't have Mount Vernon gear on.
Okay.
Okay? You can do it
Okay.
on your own
Yeah.
because you are being endorsed, you personally, but not you as a Mount Vernon swimmer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes
So, but
sense.
if it's a part of the uniform, that would be one that you would be allowed to do it. Let's take it back to Mia at New Albany, the golfer. That was one thing that she was being endorsed, or she had the opportunity to be endorsed for clubs and gear and so on, but she wouldn't have been able to market it while she's playing golf in her New Albany gear. You know what I mean? So those are just some of the little finicky things that we would have to make sure that we educate people on and make sure that we're doing it.
Can you guys explain the differences between high school NIL deals and college NIL deals?
Come on, Coach Hunt. You gotta jump in here on this one.
I mean, because high school is so new, it's countless. Just like in college, there's endless. From the quarterback at UCLA, he drives a Lamborghini because Lamborghini was the one that gave him the deal. It could be anything from cars to clothes to tattoos to straight up money. We just had last week Ezra Curick, who played for us last year, now plays at Eastern Michigan, and their best player gets $5,000 a month. He only has, I don't know, I think he said like 6,000 followers. But this company pays him to do one post a week on, it's like the braided hats. And he makes 5,000 a month, and he gets to take his girlfriend out on really expensive dates, and he pays for a lot of the stuff for the team. And so I mean, it's endless what you can get.
When you're talking about NIL deals, what are your pros and cons you would kind of think of, like that would first come to mind with the NIL deal?
I would say the con to it is that it really takes a toll as a coach. Because if I was just talking this morning, yesterday after the post game in the World Series, Bo Bichette had his hat on backwards. I was talking with Dolan Hershberger, and he was like, we don't wear our hats backwards. But if someone is getting paid and is really talented, and even let's say moved here, not for athletics, let's say he did exactly what Ezra did, but then he gets paid. And then as the coach, I almost feel like all of my non-negotiables are out the window because this kid's getting paid to play. You know, and then I ironically, yesterday I was scrolling through social media and Nick Saban was talking about every Sunday recruits would come over to his house and Miss Terry would take, who's his wife, would take the moms and they would go out and just kind of have like a mom's talk. And Nick Saban's last year, all the recruits left, Miss Terry came in and said, what are we doing? Before the Sunday's recruits came in, it was like, I'm telling the moms, like, I'm going to, you know, we're going to turn your boy into a man and we're going to, you know, teach him all these principles. And for the last hour, we just talked about money. So what are we doing? Like, what is the principle why we got into, you know, coaching athletics and, you know, turning boys into men? And so it definitely takes a lot out of us as the coach to say we don't have as much, I don't want to say power, but as much impact as we did in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And again, going back to how OHSAA has written this bylaw. So paying someone to come to Mount Vernon and play or to Gahanna or New Ulm is not going to be permitted.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still transfer bylaws that you have to go through, exceptions that you would have to meet in order for someone to come to Mount Vernon, move to Mount Vernon under the premise of playing for some mm-hmm. sort of NIL, again, with no collectives, so who's going to pay them? That's not permitted. So it truly goes back to, in this bylaw, of branding, merchandise, and just for their, you know, social media, so I'll call it their own personal branding, because of their athletic fame, you know. We're not going to have the $5,000 a month to come here and play baseball for Coach Hunt. You know what I mean? Just because you're a good baseball player and we have somebody that can pay that. We that's not going to be permitted. So the pros of it are for those certain circumstances of this number one recruit in the country who has an opportunity to get some sort of, you know, branding deal, merchandise deal. For a golfer who's going to be a professional golfer. She already is. She's not playing for New Albany. She turned pro. It would give them the incentive, I guess, to still benefit off of their fame right now, and continue to be able to compete at their school. That's the pro. The con side, there's just a lot of. There's just going to be a lot of I's dotted and T's crossed for those specific people,
mm-hmm.
For those specific student athletes that have that fame or notoriety, mm-hmm. to make sure that they're not, one, jeopardizing their eligibility at the high school level,
mm-hmm.
and then two, jeopardizing the eligibility at the next level in mm-hmm. NCAA. And that's where the education piece is going to have to come in, is what is the deal? Who's doing the deal? Are you making sure that you are, and who's patrolling that if you're endorsed by mm-hmm. Nike and you're wearing all Nike gear, that it doesn't cross the boundary of I'm wearing Nike gear at a baseball, I'm wearing my own Nike thing that I'm being endorsed by at a baseball warm-up. So while we're mm-hmm. warming up for a game, Coach Hunt is out there with, you know, his Nike gear on and not our Mount Vernon baseball issued apparel.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody snaps a picture of that and turns that in, who's patrolling that? Is mm-hmm. it on us? Is it on the coach? Is it on OHSAA? Those are still the things that need to be worked out.
Okay.
They tried in the bylaw to put the onus on the kid, the student athlete, that you have to be responsible for this. But at the same time, you know, Coach, one of his players just shows up at the thing with his endorsed gear on. It's kind of on our onus too to say, hey, you know what? Hey, this is a team activity, official team activity. Take that off and put on our team issued apparel. So there's just going to be some things that are going to come up that we just don't know about. I would say that the market in Ohio, Cleveland, Columbus, Cincinnati is probably going to be a little bit more cumbersome than, say, Mount Vernon. We don't have our own, you know, TV station or newspaper for that matter, to where somebody's going to want to enter into an advertising contract. You talk about the Lamborghini and the car. You know, I mean, are we going to have anybody to hit that level to where a local car dealer wants to give someone a car just for their thing? Well, what are they going to get out of it? You know what I mean? I mean, are they getting advertising out of it? He had to go on this podcast or whatever it is once a month for the braided hats. Do we have that in Mount Vernon, in Columbus, Cincinnati, Cleveland? You know, I could see that where somebody ends up on a, if it's a top line athlete, ends up on a TV commercial ad for, you know, a car dealership or whatever, as you see like Ohio State players doing.
Mm-hmm.
So. I think it's also something, and the NCAA is seeing it now, you can't go back on it. Once that box is open and that is an option, you can't undo it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, you know, Mr. Schaefer said, cross them T's, dot and I's, is it has to be laid out perfect, and it never will be.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't undo Pandora. I mean, it'll be a zoo. It'll be a zoo. You'll see a lot of the aftermath once it you think it's settled, and it's just, it won't be.
You'll see a lot of what Miss Terry was talking about,
yeah.
I think, in those markets, the Cincinnati, Cleveland, Columbus, of a parent, more so than a student athlete, a parent saying, hey, my son, I want my son to come and play at XYZ school, whatever sport it is. What can you do for me?
Mm-hmm.
That's, I think, the question that's going to come in some of those larger markets, you know, super talented athletes. What can you do for me? Or who do you know that can help us make this decision to come to your school?
To the point where you got high school agents.
Yeah.
Coaches are agents as opposed to coaches. And Mr. Sanford isn't just the AD. He's the, you know, there's so much that would go into it that I don't even want to wrap my head around it.
So having the regulations and the bylaw as they drew them up is, I think they've done the best job that they can of keeping it somewhat in a box, to use his phrase, to keep it somewhat in a box. The question is whether or not everybody will adhere to that box.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and who's going to patrol that?
Yeah, like that, like, envelope could get pushed and more and more, and it keeps snowballing.
What's different than, like, there is a stipulation on you can transfer, right? Then you look at Ironton, who broke those rules, and now they have, they just won a state title, and they illegally recruited guys from, what, West Virginia?
Yep.
So that was something that OHSA had to decide. Do we allow transfers? Here's the stipulations. Have the box. And now people are breaking that box because winning is important. Same concept. It may be great in a year, 2 years, 5 years down the road. Now we got dudes from out of state, everywhere. It'll be a lot.
And it's one of those rules in there is that transfer piece right there. So anytime someone wants to transfer without NIL, anytime someone wants to transfer, we have to make sure that we provide them all the documentation, and it all has to be certified and notarized. And, you know, here's their change of address. Here's their, electricity bill. They're living there full time. They have made the physical move from XYZ to Mount Vernon or wherever it may be. We submit all of that paperwork down to Ohio High School to make sure and verify that they have physically made the move and they're living there full time. And there was no recruitment behind that. You physically move. And when this goes through and there's this, if there's a transfer and there's an NIL deal, it's automatically going to trigger. They're going to assume that there was some sort of recruitment going on.
Okay.
So now more hoops we all have to jump through. Family, the student athlete, the coach, the athletic department, to then prove that they were not recruited to move here based on an NIL deal or whatever it may be. So it's just,
I think my solution to that, is there will be those two pieces. It will parlay together. If you take money, let's say someone comes here for an NIL deal. If you take money and you are at that school, you cannot leave that school. It's the same thing I think the college should do. So you're not a four-year guy at four different schools with four different NIL deals. If you go to Ohio State and you get an NIL deal, you're stuck. That will alleviate people seeking more at different schools. You're there. It's I think, the only solution.
I think students being able to profit off their name, image, and likeness, I think could very well be a good thing. Well, thanks for giving us some time today.
Absolutely.